This cassette tape contains Bible teaching regarding revelation and end time truth by David Ebal. The title of this message is The Kingdom of God.
First, it's all about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. In particular, we'll go down it like this and we'll talk about the fact that in Revelation there is a specific point that identifies when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And we'll talk about that specific time and point. We'll try to identify what the kingdom is, righteousness, peace, and joy. That's out of Romans. Then we'll go to the kingdom of heaven scriptures in Matthew and show that the scriptures in Matthew that talk about the kingdom of heaven are the same thing that's the kingdom of God. And I'm going to try to prove to you the kingdom of heaven is the same thing as the kingdom of God. Now, not everyone agrees, but we'll see whether or not these scriptures prove this. Then we'll find out that Jesus talked about who shall enter the kingdom of heaven, and he says your righteousness has got to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, and man, that's a lot. And so how can your righteousness possibly exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees? Because, boy, they were very righteous people. The answer is in Romans 10, and we'll find that Christ is my righteousness. And, of course, then that makes life easy when we get that answer. Then we'll go into two things that you may have noticed before and you may not. But in order to get to the kingdom of heaven, in John 3:3, Jesus talks about being born again so you can see it. But in 3:5, he talks about being born of water and the Spirit so you can enter it. Now, there's a difference between seeing the kingdom and entering the kingdom. And we're going to talk about the difference between seeing the kingdom and entering the kingdom, between John 3:3 and 3:5. Then we'll go on concerning the water and have a scripture as to what this water is. This cleansing of the water in the Spirit. We'll take some scriptures that talk about the water, which is the Word. And we'll find out the importance of the engrafted Word, which will save our souls. And we'll go over to Peter and find out that in order to purify your soul, that same thing as cleanse your soul, is through the truth, which is the Word, by the Spirit. And that's exactly what it says up here, the water and the Spirit, back here in John in the first place. So we'll take in these. Then we'll go into three sections that talk about the kingdom of God. Ephesians, Galatians, and Corinthians. Ephesians 5, Galatians 5, and Corinthians 6. Now in those sections, we're going to see that these also not only talk about entering the kingdom of God, but they also talk about all kinds of nasty things. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, and all these kind of things are identified in Ephesians 5, Galatians 5, and 1 Corinthians 6. And yet it also talks about the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven and tells that we got to have love to enter it and then identifies what it takes to stay out of it. For it gives you two lists in every one of these. Ephesians, Galatians, and Corinthians gives you the list of what it takes to, if you got these things in your life, you'll never make it. And if you got these other things in your life, you'll get there in all three sections. Now we'll go on to Corinthians, which tells that you will not inherit, and I'm going to look at the word inherit. Can you see it from where you're sitting there? Inherit the kingdom of God, for that's important. I want to inherit the kingdom of God. Then we're going to take a list of Galatians 5, 1 Corinthians 6, and Ephesians 5 of these words, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, all these things are in this. We'll go through some of the Greek words that define what these really mean, because you don't really understand it, I don't believe. We'll go into Ephesians 5 and take some more, and 1 Corinthians 6 and take some more. And notice that in Hebrews 12, because of a root of bitterness, he sold his birthright. Now, if you remember on the first slide, I was talking about you'll not inherit. An inheritance is a birthright. And I don't want to lose my birthright because I do want to inherit. And I don't want these things in my life because I want to get in to the kingdom. And so we'll talk about what some of the bad things are and what some of the good things are. Then we'll go into this section a little bit more, taking Ephesians, Revelation scriptures, two Revelation scriptures, because in Ephesians it says, if you do these things, whoremonger, unclean person, covetous, idolater, you that person hath not any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now here's a new scripture, kingdom of Christ and God. Now we'll go to the Revelation and find out the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and hook these together and prove they're the same thing. Our Lord, God, Christ, you see, the same thing. And try to equate them with the kingdom of heaven, show they're all the same thing. And who it is that's outside the kingdom, without the kingdom, or outside the kingdom, are the dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and makes a lie. And we'll try to identify that from the Greek, and all these little things back here are Greek words which will help us to identify what they really mean. Then, Lord willing, if we got time, we'll find out when this takes place. And this will be a shocker. When? When the kingdom of God takes place. Somebody says it's within you. Well, we'll take all those scriptures and find out just when it is, the details concerning the kingdom of God. The Pharisees demanded when the kingdom should come, or when the kingdom of God should come, and Jesus said, it's not with observation, you're not going to see it. In Luke 19, His own disciples thought the kingdom of God should come immediately. He said, no, and He told them a parable proving that the kingdom of God was not for that time. In Luke 21, He goes on and identifies exactly when the kingdom of God is to occur, when we're going to get into it exactly. Okay, now I told you what I was going to tell you. Now are you ready for the lesson? Okay. No wonder I was in a hurry, huh? All right. First, everybody turn to Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. Someone read it to me. Anyone? Which angel sounded? Now look at the chart. Here's the seventh trumpet angel, the last, L-A-S-T. Now it says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, remember all this, it's the last trump. Then he just read at the last trump, and in reading the last trump in the book of Revelation, we find that at the time of the last trump, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Well, that's what we're waiting for. That's what we're looking for. That's the culmination. That's the vortex. That is the apex of the whole Christian society. Everything. Look, 2,000 years ago, that's what the Jews were looking for. When the kingdoms of this world were to become the kingdoms of the Messiah. They were expecting the Messiah to come to bring up a kingdom in might, power, glory, majesty, honor, dominion, a kingship, throne, you know, crown, scepter, armies, things like that. What did he come? Donkey. Yeah. And he said, look, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight, but my kingdom is not of this world. Remember what he told Pilate? You got it wrong. Pilate said, are you a king? And he says, thou said, yeah, I'm a king, but not of this world. For the kingdom that I have come to set up is a kingdom that's where? Within you. Within. The kingdom that Jesus is to set up is within. Now, in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, we find a definition of the kingdom of God. Turn to it, please. Romans 14, chapter 14, verse 17, is a definition of the kingdom of God. It tells what it isn't and what it is.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
All right. What is it not? Meat and drink. That would be mammon, things, houses, lands, clothes, that kind of thing. Well, now, what did Jesus say? Seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then what? All these things. The things that the Gentiles are seeking after. Mammon, clothes, hats, cars, furniture, food. Then all these things will be added unto you. But let's be careful not to get the cart before the horse. let's get things in the right order. Seeking first the kingdom of God, then get the other things in right order. Now that's what it's not, but what is it? It's three things. What are those three things?
Righteousness,
peace, and joy. Now come on. Who is my righteousness? Jesus Christ. Who is my peace? Jesus Christ. Who is my joy? Jesus Christ. Well, there you got it. He's all in all. As the little song goes, He's my father, He's my mother, He's my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Jesus Christ is the answer to every problem of life. Jesus is my righteousness. Now, the scripture that defines the righteousness concerning, let's see, it's in Romans 10 down here. Just while you're in Romans, turn over to 10:4, and it'll tell you who your righteousness is. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our joy. What's it say in 10:4, Romans?
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
Do you believe? Say amen.
Amen.
Say yes, I believe. That's me, boy. For Christ is my righteousness. That's how I can make it. Now, I'm going to talk just a little bit about the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and try to prove to you that it's the same thing. First, turn to Matthew 4:17 and read that. Matthew 4:17 to find a reference to the kingdom of heaven. Now, because of the length of these scriptures and because we got so many of them, we'll probably be having this printed so that hopefully you can have these notes maybe in a more full way, maybe even in a pamphlet. But well, at least we'll have them printed for you later on. If you're taking them... Yeah, I think that you'd be better off by listening than to try to... If note-taking is hard... Then forget it. We'll give you notes later, okay? I'd rather this became something, a part of you. I'd rather it was engrafted in you rather than you just, you know, write a lot of notes. Later on, we'll give you the notes. Okay? Who's got it? Matthew 4:17.
From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Repent. Now, from that time, now, I think if you go back three or four verses, you'll find it was the time when John the Baptist was put in prison, wasn't it? It says, from that time then Jesus began to preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you to notice that it was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. While you're remembering that, turn to Mark 1:14. Mark 1:14 and see what he says in Mark about that same instance, that same circumstance. Really, it's the same story told all over again in Mark, but he uses different words. And this becomes important for you to see. 1:14, Mark, here it is. We're down to this line right now. Go ahead. Anyone read it.
After that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Now we find that after that John was put in prison, he was preaching the gospel of the what?
Kingdom
of what? G-O-D. Now over in Matthew, it was the kingdom of what?
Heaven,
okay? Now look at Matthew 5:5 for another example of the same thing after two or three of these. Now we could go on for, I think, 12 or 15 of these examples, but I believe two or three will be enough, don't you? I mean, to prove the point. I don't want to be a little thing, but at least want to have two or three. All right, in 5:5, read that to me. Matthew 5:5. Read that real loud again, please.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Now I want 5:5.
That's it.
Yeah, I goofed. It's 5:3. I'm sorry. It's 5:3 is what I wanted. So we'll change that. Blessed are the what? Meek. Oh, poor in spirit. For theirs is the what? All right. Remember, poor spirit, kingdom of heaven. Now go to Luke 6:20, and it's the poor spirit, kingdom of heaven. And go to Luke 6:20 for the proof of what we're trying to drive at. I won't do this to you very much more in a little while you're... Is anybody's Bible smoking yet? All right. Read it.
And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God.
See, these are the Beatitudes now that are in Luke. Now, the Beatitudes that you read from Mark are blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew. Now we're over in Luke, and he says, blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of
God.
So kingdom of heaven equals kingdom of God. You see what I'm driving at? You saw that before. Now here's another one, just to prove to you that this is not a, Matthew uses these words interchangeably, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. The other authors don't seem to switch them quite so often. Let me show you what I mean. In Matthew 6:33, he talks about kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Read it.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Okay, now go over to Luke 12:31. It's the same thing. What's it say? All right, in Luke he says, seek the kingdom of God. In Matthew it says, seek the kingdom of God. You see what I'm driving at? So they say the same thing in this case. So sometimes the stories go along saying different words, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, but you know it's the same thing, the same story. It has to be the same thing. And in other cases, he tells a story and they both say kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God or whatever. In other words, these are seem to me to be, by its very usage, the way it's used, an interchangeable term. And we can talk about Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Well, someone says, what's the difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit? Well, there is no difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. And by the same token, we can't find any difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Do you see what I'm driving at there? They're interchangeable terms. Okay. Now read me Matthew 5:20, for this is an important thing that this whole thing hinges on. Jesus speaking about the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven.
For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Now that's pretty tough. And Jesus says everybody ought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then he turns right around and says, you got to be pretty good guys. You got to be good boys and good girls to enter into the kingdom of heaven, for your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Well, that's impossible. Come on, tell the truth. There's nobody here. You just, of ourselves, of our own righteousness. I'm talking about Dave Ebaugh's righteousness and yours. There's nobody here that's good enough. Because those scribes and Pharisees spent all their lives constantly wrapping robes of righteousness around themselves and deciding what the law was and whether or not they could kindle a fire on the Sabbath how many Sabbaths they could have in a row before they get a day of preparation again. And all they just worked and worked and worked on keeping the law. And then they pray. They'd stand on street corners and pray and make a big deal out of their righteousness. Then Jesus turns around and tells us in Isaiah that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And turns right around and tells me that my righteousness has to be better, more, greater.
My righteousness is
good. All right, there's your answer. Go ahead and read it. It's in 10:4, Romans 10:4. Oh, okay. Romans 10:4 is the description of our righteousness and tells us how our righteousness can exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, how we can get better than they.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes.
Do you believe that Christ is the end of the law? Are you sure? Are you really, really sure? Now, I have taught, I think, 3 or 4 lessons in a row about the law versus love, or Moses versus Jesus. You remember all those lessons? And I've taught it over and over again, that we've come to the end of one era, and we're in a new era now. Jesus' words are more important than Moses' words.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' law, which is the law of love, supersedes. And whenever there is an argument or you can't understand how you can do Moses and what Jesus said, it's obvious you drop Moses and pick up Jesus. But lots of people don't like that idea. Lots of people would rather look for the hardest thing. And if it's harder to do what Moses said, they'd rather do that. And if it's harder to do what Jesus said, they'd rather do that. Because their God is a hard God, a hard taskmaster. Do you see what I'm talking about? And there are just lots of people who don't believe that Jesus really is the end of the law for our righteousness. Because it says Jesus kept every jot and tittle of the law. And then I am accounted righteousness through Jesus because he did it. Therefore, my righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the most righteous person, the most righteous lawkeeper. I exceed that because Jesus is now my Savior. He is my Lord, and he's my righteousness. Now, the kingdom of God is three things. What is it?
Righteousness.
There you are. Righteousness, peace, and joy. If those three things could operate in you, you say you're in the kingdom of God. Well, I'm not sure. Because every one of us are still trying to earn our way through a lot of our own righteousness. Come on, tell the truth. Every one of us are still working toward one thing or another to earn our way into the kingdom through one technique or the other. And you can list a million of them, of things that we're still trying to do for God, when the price has already been paid. Now, it's a little different when God tells us to do something. See, I'm not talking about that, but a lot of things we're doing for him because we think we ought to. And really, the price is already paid. He is my righteousness. Of course, it goes on beyond that. He's my peace. Now, come on. There are some people in this room, and I don't have to be a prophet to figure this one out, that lost their peace last week. Got mad,
sure.
Screamed, short-tempered, and their peace was gone. Maybe last week, maybe it was today. There were some troubles. Now, look, the kingdom of God is within us. Where is our righteousness? Within us. Where's our peace? Within us. Where's our joy? You mean to tell me that you can have righteousness, peace, and joy within you when on the outside things look pretty dark? See? On the outside things might look pretty bad. Boss is mad. Customer is screaming. Wasn't your fault. But both of them believe it was. Have you ever been in one of these squeezes where it seemed like that nothing you could do was right? Well, you got the idea of what I'm talking about. Our righteousness is in Jesus. It's an internal thing, and it doesn't matter about the outside circumstances. However, we're coming to a time very shortly when the outside circumstances will matter. That's the seventh trumpet. Because then that which is in us is going to be outside us. And all things will be subject. I mean, you know, the lion will lie down with the lamb, and the children will play on the holy ass. Remember all these scriptures? And they'll war no more. What's that song? Ain't a gonna learn war any no more. I can't even say it right. Hey, you got the idea. And we'll come into an era of peace, security, and safety through Jesus Christ. But it has to first start inside. Now, let me say it another way. Mister, you'll never get along with that woman until you can get along with yourself. Lady, I'm talking to you too. You may be having trouble with your husband, but really, a lot of the trouble is still the fact that the inner peace is missing. And if you had that inner peace, then the outer circumstances couldn't rile you up the way they do. Now, I'm not trying to be nasty or mean, but you see what I'm driving at. We're coming short, tell the truth. We're coming short of a goal that is set before us. Now, let's set our mark on the mark of the high calling, a goal. There is a goal. There is a possibility of coming into righteousness, of coming into peace. I mean, constant peace, always peace. Coming into joy when it doesn't matter if it's a flat tire. Oh, praise God, it's just a flat tire. Glory. And besides, I wanted to have this thing cleaned anyway.
And what do I care if all those trucks are splashing that water here? Because, oh, hallelujah. You see, joy, in spite of the outer circumstances, and, well, I admit it sounds like a fanatic, but you got to be a fanatic, don't you, in this realm, because really that's what we're talking about, being, believing something inside that's really on the outside, not quite so yet. Okay, go to John 3:3 for an explanation of what I'm trying to talk about. John 3:3. Jesus describes first seeing the kingdom of God, then secondly entering into the kingdom of God. I want John 3:3 and then John 3:5. Who's got it? Surely what I say, except a man be born again. Now, in your margin note where it says again, some of you have margin notes and it says from above, doesn't it? Born from above. Is that what it says in your margin notes?
From above.
From above. The literal translation is from above. Born from above. This born again is a born from above. Now, naturally, we're born in a natural realm, but he's talking about a supernatural being born by God the Father. You know, it talks that, about that in John 1:1. John, the first chapter, about being born not of the will of man or the flesh, but born of God through the Spirit. You remember that? Back here in John, first chapter? Now, Jesus talks about it, and he says, you've got to be born again to just see the kingdom. Now, these people that are born again can see the kingdom. Do you see it? In order to see the kingdom. Now, that's probably where you are. I think you're living in John 3:3. I believe you've been born again, and I believe that you can see the kingdom. You can see the possibility of righteousness, of Jesus being your righteousness. You can see that it is possible for Jesus to actually be your peace. You can see that Jesus could be your joy. And lots of times is. And yet, there are times in our lives when the little flesh comes in and what's it called? Old scratch gets in the way. And things don't work out just right. And you find out that you lost your peace. You lost your joy. And one of the things that us people that have been moving in what I call full gospel or holiness realms have got to watch, you lose your righteousness. The easiest way to lose your righteousness is try to be righteous by yourself. And that's pretty difficult, and that's quite a task for us, because us holiness people are constantly trying to be righteous. We got all kinds of standards, man. Boy, you ought to see our standards.
For the second part of this message by David Ebal entitled The Kingdom of God, please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.